Step 4. Focus on the critical number. The original critical number for Jack Stack and the people of SRC was obvious. With a debt-to-equity ratio of 89 to 1, they needed to make the bank loan payment. If they didn't do that, nothing else mattered. Their jobs would be gone. Debt was their weakness, and they needed to drive it out of their business. Jack used one common goal to rally people, get their buy-in, and educate them, not only on why it was critical, but on how they could influence it. Armed with a common goal, people could understand and buy into it. Jack could teach debt to equity along with all the related financial education in their weekly huddles. And after a year and 52 lessons, you can be sure they learned it. The critical number is at the heart of the game. Right now, there's at least one financial or operational number in your company, something right at the heart of your business, that if improved in the short term, would have a dramatic effect on your business. Does every single person in your organization understand how important that number is? The critical number defines winning. It rallies people around a common goal and provides a focus on what's most important and critical to the company's success. When the critical number is correctly identified, targeted, and tied to a reward, the rules of the game have been set. The critical number becomes the focus of the game. Our classic definition of the critical number is an operational or financial number that represents a weakness or vulnerability that, if not addressed and corrected, will negatively impact the overall performance and long-term security of the business. Think of it as your one thing. That one thing that at any given time is going to have the greatest impact on your business. The one thing you must improve to succeed and that clearly defines winning. In this chapter, we'll provide a specific process and toolkit to identify and rally your team around the critical number. But before we jump into the process, we need to first share with you a few important ideas that many people miss and that often make all the difference. Your critical number will evolve with your business. Your business is in constant change. Therefore, your critical number should change with it. The right number for your business could depend on a number of different factors related to current financial issues, market conditions, operational challenges, and growth goals. That means your business might need to choose a new critical number each year. At SRC, we often have two critical numbers. One relates to profitability, and the other is strategic. It changes from year to year depending on the particular weakness we see in our company. Focus on the critical number. Regen Technologies. A great illustration of how a business put this philosophy into practice is Regen Technologies, a joint venture formed between SRC and John Deere in 1998. The idea behind the company was for SRC to teach John Deere how to remanufacture the parts it sold through its dealerships. When Ron Gwynn joined the firm as president in 2001, however, the company had run into tough times. It was bleeding money on what should have been a cash cow, says Gwynn, now an executive VP at SRC. Year 1 critical number, earnings. One of the first challenges Gwynn took on with his team was to establish a critical number for the business that everyone could focus on and pay a gain share bonus plan on. My staff of managers and supervisors were highly involved in discussing what our biggest weakness was, how we could get stronger, and how we could create a bonus plan around that, says Gwynn. We'd have meetings where we would come up with ideas and then kick the tires on them for a while as we debated the pros and cons of each. Part of our focus was we didn't want to pay the partners in the joint venture less than our plan said we would. In this case, since the business wasn't returning the earnings to the partners in the joint venture they expected, the team first focused on earnings or profits. The team needed to get back to basics, says Gwynn, and the P&L was the right place to start. By basing the critical number on earnings, the entire company refocused on understanding what its costs were and how it could work on making processes more efficient. People responded well by trimming costs and focusing on growing sales through our direct ship program, says Gwynn. Year 2 critical number, earnings and return on assets. While many companies choose to keep their critical number on profits for an ongoing basis, Gwynn understood that if a company is already earning at the top level, you could actually create a disincentive for your team members by linking their bonus to increased profits. It might be impossible, says Gwynn, which is why it's important to focus instead on whatever weakness you can address. After some discussion, Gwynn and his team realized that the business was loaded with assets, especially inventory. Part of that was because John Deere has a reputation that when a customer wants a part or an engine for a tractor, it will be shipped out the same day. As a way to better respond to those requests, the company had built up an impressive inventory, but it wasn't always earning the needed cash if it was sitting on a shelf. So for that year, the team chose return on assets, or ROA, as its critical number. That meant the team was focused on turning the inventory, shipping out more of those assets that had been in the warehouse and turning them into cash, which it addressed by playing a series of mini-games. Ultimately, the improvements the team made in turning around the assets funded its bonus program. The catch, of course, was that the more the team turned the inventory, the greater the odds it wouldn't have a part on hand that a customer might need. "We had to walk a tightrope," says Gwen. "We couldn't draw too much of our inventory down where we might disappoint a customer." Year 3 critical number, earnings and sales per employee. Once Regen had turned its management of assets from a weakness into a strength, the team turned its focus to further improving the efficiency of its operations. Specifically, overhead, especially headcount, had started to creep up inside the business. At one point, there were more support people than production people working in the business. The team then decided that everyone in the business needed to add value, so it chose sales per employee as the next critical number. That meant that if a department or a team wanted to add new people, it had to justify that the new hire would lead to additional sales. At the time, Gwen and his team didn't want to grow the top line at the expense of the bottom line, so they added a second critical number, earnings, as a kind of gate. In other words, the company needed to first hit its earnings goal for the year while hitting its sales per employee target in order to earn a full bonus. A remarkable footnote to the Regen story is that from 2004, when they set the critical number on sales per employee, and 2008, when John Deere bought the company, the business added only 2 employees who didn't have a direct impact on sales. By 2008, it had flipped the equation where they had 1.5 production workers for every support person, and hourly employees were earning up to an extra 18% of their annual wages as a bonus. "Everything we did was designed to make the company better," says Gwen. "And it was amazing that the team hit every critical number and maxed out every bonus we threw at them, which taught us to be careful about what you set your bonus on, because people will go after it." Year 4 critical number, earnings and on-time delivery. Since the business had begun to excel at maximizing its efficiencies and getting the most from its assets, the team decided that its bigger weakness was on-time delivery. What the team realized was that there was significant lag time between when an order was placed with the call center and when the order finally made it to the production line. That meant that if the IT and engineering teams could find a way to route those orders more quickly to the production line, they could get the products ready faster to be shipped out without having to stock any more inventory. At the same time, the team recognized that while it had been measuring how quickly it had shipped a product or part out the door, it hadn't been tracking when the delivery actually reached the customer's dock. When we finally started tracking what was most important to the customer, we drastically improved our on-time delivery times by 60% in the first year, says Gwen. That improvement also funded the bonus plan, since happier customers would drive more sales, which would then drive earnings based on all the other improvements the team had already made when running the business. Year 5 critical number, earnings and net promoter score. The team took its focus on the customer to yet another level the following year when it set its critical number on net promoter score, which is a measure of how willing a customer is to recommend you to a friend or other business on a scale of 1 to 10. Regen was an early adopter of net promoter score and hired a third-party company to survey its customers. "Our focus was to figure out what was most important to the customer," says Gwen. The assumption was that if we figured out what that was, we could then generate more sales and grow quicker. Regen is an unbelievable success story. From 2001 until 2008, when John Deere exercised its option to buy the business, the company grew its top line from $28 million in sales to $100 million. And finding the right critical number along the way played a huge role in that growth. "I'd love to say that I had a master plan," says Gwen, "but we were just focusing on one thing at a time before we moved on to the next most critical thing. It was quite a ride." One lesson you can take away from Regen Technologies' experience is that you will probably start with a profitability-based critical number and with time evolve by adding a strategically-based critical number. Successful critical numbers like Jack's in those early days of SRC or Ron's at Regen accomplish 3 goals. It focuses a team on what's critical to success. It rallies a team around a common goal. It educates a team on what they can do to make a difference. The myth and magic of critical number. myth and magic surrounds the critical number. Let's say that you discovered the ultimate critical number. You found a financial measure that would indicate success, and you're going to focus your entire organization on your ultimate critical number and take over the world. Sounds good, right? But you may be dead right. You're right in the sense that you have identified the ultimate critical number, but you're also dead. Dead because you have no buy-in from those who have to execute on it. It's your number. You will continue to hear throughout this book a repeated mantra. People support what they help create. When people participate, they buy in. When people buy in, they commit. When people commit, they deliver. That creates ownership in the results, and it's why selecting your company's critical number should be a team effort. It's not a panacea. It's not a magic pill. It's not just about the number itself. It's how you get to critical number that matters. And that is where the magic lies. Path to critical number. Long-term GGOB players identify their critical numbers as part of the high involvement planning process, or HIP. During the HIP process, strategic and financial plans are developed and scrutinized with broad-based participation in order to identify the critical number. We'll share more about HIP later in Chapter 10. For first-time players of the game, critical numbers can be identified through a straightforward business review process, which helps companies get clarity on the realities of the business from four specific areas: financial, the numbers, marketplace, customer, operational, process, and people, culture. Each area provides a different perspective of the business, and the information gathered is also used to identify the critical number. You'll need to gather data, organize data, prioritize issues, and summarize the issues. Here's a breakdown. Number 1. Gather data. A. Practice assessment. B. Input survey. C. Financial analysis template. D. Benchmarking data. Number 2. Organize data by the four views. A. Financial. B. Marketplace. C. Operations. D. People. Number 3. Prioritize issues in each of the four views. Number 4. Summarize issues on the line of sight template. You can find the line of sight template at greatgame.com/gigtools. The line of sight template includes the four views. Here are a description of each of the sections. Financial or numbers perspective. Things to consider. Profit. Cash. Return, growth, and wealth. Sources of information. Financial analysis results. Historical financial statements. Past financial goals. Industry benchmarks. Financial trends, both internal and external. The next view is marketplace or customer perspective. Things to consider. Market growth. Market share. Value proposition. Target customers. And your go-to-market strategy. Sources of information: customer surveys, sales and marketing plans, competitive and benchmarking data, market growth, and customer and marketing intelligence. Operational or process perspective: things to consider: capacity, quality, R&D, cost structure. Sources of information: practice scorecard, input survey, management interviews, management surveys, output from strategic planning meetings. People or culture perspective: things to consider, leadership development, sales training, teamwork, employee engagement. Sources of information: practice scorecard, input survey, employee interviews, employee surveys, and output from operational planning meetings. Now that you understand the line of sight template, let's begin by listening to your people. Your people. Who knows the realities of the business better than the people who are closest to the action? If you're going to ask people to think and act like owners, you must first treat them like owners and ask them for their input. Bring your people together, talk to them, get to the root of their issues and concerns. This is your first opportunity to engage your people in the process, not only for their input, but also for their buy-in and ownership in the outcome. Remember, when the critical number is identified with broad participation, specifically those closest to the action, It creates a level of ownership, buy-in, and alignment that just can't be matched. An easy way to get started is with employee and management interviews and surveys. The survey that we have used at SRC for over 30 years consists of two parts. The first part is what we call the practice assessment. The great game of business and open book management isn't about theory, it's about practice. The practice assessment is a complete evaluation of the company's management operating system against each of the three principles and nine core practices of the great game of business, identifying both strengths and weaknesses. This assessment also includes an organizational engagement survey to measure overall employee engagement and leadership's commitment to the practices of the great game. The practice assessment becomes an essential benchmark tool for companies beginning to practice or already practicing the great game. The second part of the survey contains open-ended questions that help us understand what your people, both management and employees, believe are the critical issues facing the company. We also highly encourage face-to-face talks or interviews with your people whenever possible. Here is a sample of the questions we use. What does the company do well? What doesn't the company do well? What are the critical financial issues facing the company in the next 6 to 12 months? What are the critical marketplace or customer issues facing the company in the next 6 to 12 months? What are the critical operational or process issues facing the company in the next 6 to 12 months? What are the critical people or cultural issues facing the company in the next 6 to 12 months? What can the company do better, differently, or more of? What is one thing we can achieve in the next 6 to 12 months that would have the greatest impact on the overall performance of the business? Now, let's move to your operations. Your operations. Your operational realities should come through loud and clear in the surveys and interviews with your people. For many of your people, this is the area they know best. They live the operational realities. You will also gain insights from operational benchmarks you collect from your marketplace. Your marketplace. We are big believers in bringing the marketplace to the people. Knowing the marketplace helps us clearly define what winning truly means. One of the easiest and quickest ways to explore the marketplace is with the help of benchmarks. Industry benchmarks are a great way to see how you match up to your industry peers and competitors. It's important that you know what the best of the best looks like and how you stack up against them. Benchmarks can help you quickly identify strengths and weaknesses within your financials and operations. By comparing to benchmarks, you show your people what's possible and create that external competitive spirit we're all looking for. The best industry benchmarks will come from your industry associations. This data is typically captured directly from your peers and is often the most accurate and applicable information. You may also find good benchmark data from suppliers, customers, or direct competitors. We also suggest using web-based resources like SageWorks, which gather and share financial benchmarks for privately held businesses. Your financials. The financials may be the most reliable and unemotional source of data and information to help get to the realities of your business. As Jack Stack says, the financials will speak to you if you're willing to listen. We suggest you take a look at your 3 to 5 year historical trends within five areas of financial performance: profit, cash, return, capitalization, and growth. Everyone wants a business model that can deliver a healthy profit, consistent cash, a fair return, sufficient capital, and steady growth. As you review your financial trends, ask yourself these questions. How well are we driving profit? Are we generating enough cash? How well are we utilizing our assets? Are we getting a fair rate of return? Are we sufficiently capitalized? Considering all the above, can we steadily grow and expand the business? The financials will help you answer these questions and many more. First, look at your year-over-year historical trends. Second, look at your performance compared to your industry or competitive benchmarks. And finally, discuss the strengths and weaknesses that emerge. What are the stories behind the numbers? We suggest you download our practice assessment, input survey, and financial analysis tools and give them a try. You can find them at greatgame.com/gigtools. Organize and discuss the issues. Get the design team together and review the information you have gathered from the input surveys, financial analysis, and marketplace benchmarks. Organize the issues identified by our four views: financial, marketplace, operations, and people. Write each of the four views on a piece of flip chart paper and start capturing the issues for each area. Step through each view. For example, begin by walking through the people and operations view first. Use the specific results from the input survey. Be sure that both the employee and management input are included and discussed. In fact, look closely at the different perspectives of both leaders and employees. Look for patterns, agreement, and even gaps between what management believes is critical and what employees see as critical. There is a lot to learn from the comparison of each perspective. Remember, perception is reality until it's not. Have a healthy, candid discussion around the issues identified. Try not to get defensive. Listen to your people and let them tell you what they see as the critical issues of the company. We need to use this time to get aligned, and we can only do that if we take the time to educate each other on the true realities of the business. Here are some questions to consider. What input is aligned? Meaning, do both management and employees agree? What is not aligned? What is the reality? What are some issues that management identified but employees didn't? What are some issues that employees identified but management failed to mention? How big is the gap in perception? Next, walk your team through the financial and marketplace views. Capture the strengths and weaknesses in the company's financial trends and opportunities for improvement based on the marketplace benchmark data. Remember, the real magic isn't in the critical number. It's in the process of getting to critical number. This process alone will help build buy-in and commitment. It can also be a great source of financial education for your team. You should now have four flip charts with the top issues from each business area collected from actual company data and direct input from both management and employees. Prioritize the top issues. Hand out sticky notes to each member of the design team. Ask everyone to write down their top five issues from the discussion. That's five issues in total, considering all business views. Write only one issue per sticky note. A quick way to organize and prioritize all the items is to ask the first person finished to place their five issues or their five sticky notes in a horizontal line on the wall. As others finish, they add their sticky notes underneath like items and create new columns for new issues. Before moving on, make sure to ask yourself, what's missing? It's not unusual for this level of discussion to open up more issues. Give a final call for any new issues that might have emerged. Each should be written on a sticky note and placed on the wall. Once everyone's issues are shared and compiled, a visual representation of initial agreement, that is, the more sticky notes for the same issue, the more the group is aligned around that issue, and a sense of prioritization emerges. Now determine the top five critical issues and place each issue on the line of sight tool in its respective area: financial, marketplace, operations, or people. This should give the team a clear view of the top issues facing the company and their potential impact on the overall financial results of the business. The process now turns from issue prioritization to issue assessment, and ultimately the selection of a critical issue that not only resonates with the team, but also is consistent with the realities of the business. Brainstorm some potential critical numbers. Begin by asking your team this simple question: what is one thing we can achieve in the next 6 to 12 months that would have the greatest single impact on the overall performance of the business? It is what it is. The critical number is the critical number. Don't fall into the trap of attempting to pick a number that everyone directly influences in the hopes of involvement and more engagement. We actually see this a lot. For example, many companies quickly jump to profit in an effort to connect everyone to the critical number. They argue that it's the fastest way to get everyone in the game, because everyone can impact profit in some way. That is all true, and they make a good point. In fact, most first-year great game practitioners will often just stick with profit as their first critical number. We're not debating that's a great place to start. However, as you grow as a great game practitioner, you want your people focused on what will strengthen the company first. If it's profit, that's great. If it's something else that becomes critical, then don't hesitate to give that challenge to your people and let them fix it. In fact, many long-term great game practitioners choose profit as one of two critical numbers. The second is the weakness they are trying to eliminate. This was demonstrated well in the evolution of critical numbers in Regen Technologies. The ultimate objective is to identify what is absolutely critical to success, what clearly defines winning for the company at any given time. Selecting the critical number. Use the following questions to help your design team make the final selection of your critical number. Number 1. Is your critical number feasible? A. Does the company have or can they get the resources, skills, time, and support needed to achieve the critical number? Number 2. Is the critical number impactful? A. Financial impact. Will the critical number keep people focused on the fundamentals of business, making money and generating cash? B. Strategic impact. Will the critical number make the company stronger and healthier by eliminating weaknesses and growing strategically? C. Educational impact. Will the critical number help educate people about the different aspects of the business and teach people exactly what it takes to be successful? Number 3. Is the critical number timely? A. Does the critical number represent something that needs to be done now, or are there other things that need to be done first? B. Does it need to be done quickly before things get worse or the window closes? Once you've selected your critical number, the next step in the process is to communicate and educate your people on the critical number. Use the following questions to develop your communication and education plan. This will help you align your team members to the importance of the critical number and their input provided direction in the selection of the critical number. These questions will also help you start the education around it. Is it critical to success? Why is the critical number important to the company's success? To your people's success? Is it reality-based? What issues discussed in the business review process supports the selection of this critical number? Is it impactful? How will this critical number make an impact on the company? Is it team-supported? How has the team been included in the selection of this critical number? Is it increasingly important? If you do nothing with the critical number, what would be the impact to the company? Is it a common goal? Who can directly or indirectly impact the critical number? Is it attainable? Is the achievement of the critical number reasonable and achievable? Is it a learning opportunity? What increased business literacy can be realized by focusing on this critical number? Bringing it all together. When facilitating a Path to Critical Number session, remember to emphasize the selection of a critical number that keeps people focused on the fundamentals of business, making money and generating cash. A good critical number makes a company stronger by eliminating a weakness and supporting strategic growth. The best critical numbers also educate people about the different aspects of the business and teach them exactly what it takes to win. The game is all about opportunities. The critical number provides an opportunity to learn and to win, two of our favorite things. That becomes part of our everyday process of running a business. Having gone through the process with your design team, you can now see that all this work, the process itself, is as powerful as the number itself. In the process, you don't just get a critical number, but also the buy-in and understanding that is absolutely critical to execution and success. Download the practice assessment, input survey, financial analysis tool, line of sight tool, and critical number communication tool at greatgame.com/gigtools.